be reading a word, and I give a title just for the sake of the people, I guess. So my title is From Impatience to Hope. Amen. From impatience to hope. And I'm going to be in the book of Exodus, and I'm going to be reading chapter 32. And I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 14. So if we could just stand for the first verse, and then you all may be seated. Amen. And so Exodus 32, the first verse says, when the people saw that Moses was so long and coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us God who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us out of Egypt, we do not know what has happened to him. You may be seated. And so if you're not familiar with this chapter is about when the Israelites, they make a golden calf. And so as I was studying this, I began to think about the season that I'm in. And so if you have not, at some point, you will be in some kind of waiting season. If you have not already, or if you're currently, you may be currently in the waiting season, but you will go through a waiting season. Whether either you're waiting for the Lord to come through with a job, or you're waiting for a breakthrough, you may be waiting for healing, you may be waiting for an answer to a question, you may be waiting for a shift in your life, like, God, what is my purpose? What is it that you have me to do? You may just be waiting on direction. You may be waiting for, Lord, when is going to be my turn? And so we go through these seasons of waiting. And so you may just be waiting. You may not even know what you're waiting for, but you may just be waiting. And so it's important for us to understand, and it's important for us to navigate the waiting period correctly. Mm-hmm. It is important for us to navigate the waiting period well. So I was led to Exodus 32 for myself because I'm currently in a waiting season. Like, and I can understand, like, because the waiting season, it can be challenging. The waiting season, it can feel, you can feel all the feels. And so in it, when you feel all the feels, it's you tempted to create idols to soften the suffering. And so when we go to verse 1, it says the people saw Moses has went up to the mountaintop of Mount Sinai with God. God was giving him direction. So the people were at the bottom of the mountaintop and they were waiting. And so at this point of their waiting, they had said it is taking Moses too long to come down. And so now at this point, they have went to their leader, Aaron, and said, make us God that will go before us. Make us a God that will lead us. Make us a God that will guide us, because Moses is taking too long. How many of us feel that God be taking too long? That God is not coming fast enough. That God is not moving fast enough. That God is not answering fast enough. And so we meet the Israelites in the waiting. They're in this in-between time. The in-between time, the time from when Moses went to up to the mountaintop to the time that they're waiting for him to come down. And so they have been in this spot before. So this is not unfamiliar to the Israelites. If you go back and read, Moses has went up to the mountaintop before, but he came back in what is a timely manner, because it didn't cause for the Israelites to feel no type of way. It didn't cause for the Israelites to be impatient. So they have been in this position before. The same for us, because God has not answered us in the time frame we have desired, then feelings begin to rise to the surface. So now they're at the point, because Moses hasn't came down in the time frame they feel that he should have came. And so now the feelings have rise to the surface. So what are the feelings that come about when we are waiting? And that when we are not waiting well, because see, the thing is that God wants us to wait well. And so when we're not waiting well, all of these feelings start to come about. We begin to get distressed. We begin to get impatient. We begin to feel agony. We begin to be distraught. we begin to get restless and discouraged and defeated and lonely and abandoned, and we begin to panic. And it's a harsh season for us. And so they have allowed these feelings have come about. And that's okay. And that's okay when these feelings have came about, but it's what you do with the feelings. So when the abandonment has come, when you feel like God is taking too long to answer a question, when the feeling of abandonment comes up, what do you do with it? When the feeling of loneliness comes up, what do you do with that? When the feeling of defeat comes up, what do you do with that? When the feeling of agony comes up, what do you do with it? We live in a world where we're instantly gratified. Instant gratification. We live in a world that we do not have to wait. We live in a world where we can pay for convenience. I know that going to an amusement park, you can even pay for skip pay. You can skip the line. So you can even pay for not waiting. And so we even check into our appointments now we even pre-check in like a couple of days early, so we don't even have to wait in the doctor office anymore. So as soon as we get there, they can call us in. So we live in a world that we don't even really have to wait anymore. I can pray we can pay for express shipping. I don't have to wait the 7 to 10 days. If I want it in a day, I can get it in a day. Hallelujah. There's Prime shipping on Amazon. And we have a hard time. So because the world is convenient, because waiting, we can pay. We don't have to wait anymore. We have a hard time waiting on God. We have a hard time waiting on the Lord because the world has made everything so convenient. But we need to know that God is opposite of the world. Everything the world offers, God is opposite of them. So if the world say you don't have to wait, God says you're going to have to wait. Right. If the world says that you're going to have to, if the world says 2 days, if the world says 2 days, God says 10 days. You have to know that God is opposite of the world. And we cannot make him convenient for us. We cannot make the Lord convenient for us. Amen. They have reached a point in their waiting. So the Israelites have reached a point and they're tired. They're tired of waiting. They're tired. Like they wish they can just go back. And it's so quick to say, I want to go back to what I'm familiar with. Because God, you have led me out of Egypt and you have brought me to this space and time, this appointed time. You have brought me to this appointed time to keep me waiting. Where are you? And I know that we feel like that in our journey. We feel like, God, I gave you my yes. I cried out to you. You answered me. So now you brought me to this appointed time and now you have left me alone. But that's not the case, because the thing about it, God didn't leave them. They were not left alone. When you go back and read, Moses was at the mountaintop. Moses was getting instructions from the Lord for the people. God is always working on our behalf, even in the waiting. Even when we have to sit and wait, he's always working. Amen. The waiting causes for us to be uncomfortable. The waiting, we don't like to be uncomfortable. We don't like to be uncomfortable. The waiting causes for us to be uncomfortable. And so because of our feelings, because of how we feel, at times we allow our feelings to allow us to make irrational decisions. We allow our feelings to lead us into sin. We allow our feelings to bring us to a point that won't benefit us in the long run. We allow our feelings to create idols. And when you go to verse 2, Aaron answered them. So it was not just a thought. They put that thought into action. So it wasn't just a thought that I feel abandoned by God. I now have put that thought into action. And so I want to do something about it. It wasn't just a thought that I feel feeling the agony. It's now I'm about to do something about it. So now they have put this thought, they have put this feeling into action. And so Aaron answered them. Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol, cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, These are your gods. Now they have created an idol. We create idols and call it God. So these are your gods, Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. So we create idols and then we say, God said it, God did it. But these are gods that they have. This is an idol that they have created. So when Aaron saw this, he built an altar of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in play. And so we see in these verses, which Aaron continues with the request of the people. We see that Aaron continues with the request of the people. So much like us, we turn to quick fixes. We compromise. We look for comfort. We turn to money. We turn to approval. And so what we try to soften the waiting period. What does that mean? Oh, God, I'll wait on you. But while I'm waiting, I'm going to go and pick up something else to distract me from feeling all of the feels. Lord, I'll wait on you, but I'm going to go and do something. And I may not, if I'm waiting for a spouse, I may not go and, you know, be, I may just go ahead and put myself with somebody, but say that I'm waiting on you. Like, we'll say those things that we waiting on them to soften the waiting period. So just like the Israelites, we turn to things and we begin to worship them and put God on it. We put God on it. We put God on the job. We put God on the career. We put God on the man, the woman, whatever. We put God on the money. We put God on the compromise. Like, we even compromise just because we don't want to wait. Just because we don't want to feel all the feelings that come with the waiting. Because I know that it's a challenge. I know it's like, where God, where are you in this waiting? Amen. But to only know that it's temporary satisfaction. Like, we have to know that the things that we run to other than God is only temporary. And when I begin to think about that, I think about people that temporary, even though if the money lasted for 5 years, it's still temporary because it's not eternity. And we feel like everything is going good in my life right now, but it's temporary. Anything that you put before God is temporary. The money going to run out. The food eventually ain't going to do what it need to do. It just make you wider than what you're supposed to be. The approval is not going to do it. Getting the amen so people won't do it, because that's not going to fill the void of what God, of who is supposed to be filling the void, and that is God. And so we see that when Israel was presented with a threat against feeling the feelings of abandonment and the feelings of being left behind and the feelings of God, where are you? We see that they choose to flight instead of fight. And so I ask the question, when you are posed with a threat, you know, the flight or fight response, and we see throughout Israel's history, instead of fighting against what they're feeling, fighting against their idols, they always flight. They always give into whatever it is. Amen. And they have given into their temptations instead of fighting against them. So we have to stand on business against the enemy. So when those feelings of abandonment comes up, when the feeling of distress comes up, when the feelings of agony, whatever comes up when you are in your waiting period, you have to fight against it. When the feelings of anxiety comes up, you have to speak the word against it. You have to speak the word that, Lord, you did not give me. Like, anxiety has to flee. You have to let me know, like, you did not give me fear. I should not be fearing anything, because that is what your word says. But times and times we give in to the feeling. So because I'm sad, because I'm feeling distressed, I'm going to give in, and now I'm just going to create me an idol instead of fighting against, instead of standing on the solid foundation, which we know to be true, which is the Lord. Because at the end of the day, we said it before, it's only temporary. So when you give in to whatever you're giving in that's not the Lord, it's only going to satisfy you temporary. The word tells us about the woman that came to the well, that didn't even know that she was in need of Jesus, that even know that she was thirsty. And so what those idols do, they just keep us thirsty. They just keep us thirsty after things that are not of God. And God is trying to quench our thirst on today. God is wanting us to be thirsty after him. God wants us to be chasing after him in the waiting period. He wants us to chase after him. He wants to be the head of our lives. He wants to be the one that we run to. Not the alcohol, not the bottle, not the weed, not the food, not whatever it is to soften the suffering. He wants us to run to him. Amen. So what is the waiting season? It's needed to expose your sin. What is the waiting season? It's needed to expose your sin. So the Israelites, they were so quick to create, to tell Aaron to create an idol for them. What if they pause for a moment and say, okay, what is this coming up? What is God trying to do for me in this waiting season? Why is this anxiousness coming up? Do I feel that the Lord is not going to come through? Why is this feeling of abandonment? Do I feel like the Lord is like my father? Do I feel like the Lord is like my mother? Why betrayal comes up? Do I feel like the Lord is going to betray me just like someone else did? Why are these feelings coming up? So what if the waiting season, because we so quick to want to get through the waiting season, some of us like, yeah, Lord, I'll wait on you. But how long is it going to be? How long the waiting season? Okay, I get it. I got to go through that. But how long is it going to be? The Lord is in our waiting season. The Lord is trying to sanctify you. The Lord is trying to purify you. The Lord, maybe he is exposing those thoughts that's deeply rooted to even have you to question, why are you really waiting? Do you really want me for me? Or do you want me for what I can provide to you? Do you want the creator or do you want the created things? Do you want the blessing or do you want the blesser? Because we got to be real with ourselves. We got to be real because we say that we're Christians and we say, Lord, that we'll give up and we surrender it all. But really, do we surrender it all? Really, do we surrender it all? Really, do we let the Lord have his way? Really, do we believe that God's ways are higher than our ways? Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that? But when we're honest, hallelujah, the waiting season is the season that is needed to expose the areas in your life that would be golden calves if God gave them to you. The waiting period is a period where God can sanctify us and purify us. A season where God is trying to perfect our character. Yeah. A season that God is trying to perfect our character. A season that God is trying to cut out bad fruit. Because we're so quick, ready to get to the next destination. But what if you went into the next season of your life, you would mess it up? What if you, because God said that this version of you can't go into the next season. Because right, right. This version of you needs some things to be cut out. Right. This version of you needs some things to be pruned. This version of you needs some things to be uprooted. Because if you take it into the next season, you're going to mess that up.
Right.
But we don't think about that. We don't think about that's the goodness of the Lord. That in the waiting, that he gets us all the way together.
Yes.
All the way together. But we allow our feelings and we allow what we feel to tell us how God is, to dictate what God is. But if we're honest with ourselves, when we get to the root of it all, we don't trust him. When we get to the root of it all, we don't trust him and we want to be in control. The Israelites, they wanted to be in control. They've always, from when they got out, when things didn't go their way, they wanted to always go back to what was the familiar for them. What was the familiar? And that's with us. When things don't go our way, we want to go, Lord, you could have just kept me where I was. I could have just stayed where I was. And we feel like that we can do better than God. And why is that? Why is that that we feel like we know so much more than God, that we can handle the situation so much better than he can? Some way, somehow we feel if we're in control, we'll just be fine. But when you continue, when you realize that when you are in control, you actually mess it up further than what it is. And so when you allow God to have control of the situation, when you allow God to do what he does, like, yes, it's going to be some hurt. Yes, it's going to be, because that's what, the cutting don't feel good. The going through the fire don't feel good. The refining process, it don't feel good. But when you come out that fire, you're going to be what? Come on. But we don't want to go through the process. We just want to be pure as gold. We want to pay somebody to make us pure as gold. Right. I'll pay you.
Right.
I'll pay you to make it. And that's not what God is trying to do. That's not the type of God that we serve. That's not the loving God that we serve. He loves us just that much that he will do whatever it takes so we can be the version that he wants, that we were born to be. We were born to be. Thank you, Lord. But why don't we trust in the Lord? So if we get down to the root of things, trust and control. So when I was thinking about the Israelites, in our trauma, we have identified the Lord to be just like man. So when we think about our trauma, our viewpoint shapes, the trauma shapes us in the way that we see God. So we feel if man's disappointing us, God gonna disappoint us. If man didn't show up for us, God is not going to show up for us. If man betrayed us, God is going to betray us. And we begin to shape and form God to be like others, but that's not who God is. And if we know that God, and another thing is the fact that we know that God has all power in his hand. And so a lot of the times when we don't trust him or when it comes to the control, it's like, Lord, you got all power in your hand. But why did you allow the things to happen the way that they did? And so because God allowed things to happen in our lives, then we begin to not trust him. Because God, you could have showed up in that situation. Father God, Father, you could have healed my father in that hospital bed. You could have healed my mother of cancer. Father God, you could have did what you could have showed up. Because you have all power. And when he don't show up like we want him to show up, then we don't trust him. But he's still trustworthy. Because then we don't realize that whatever we went through was for God's glory. To bring us closer to God.
Yes.
So in my daddy's death, in my father's death, that brought me closer to him.
Yes.
That brought me closer to God. Because at the point, sometimes we don't even realize what we need until we need it. Like, God is just that good that he gives us what we need when we don't even know we need it. So in my life, I always had a father, right? I had a father up until I was 31. So when I thought of God, I didn't think of God as being a father. I could see him in other ways, but I didn't think of him being a father because I had my earthly father. So when my earthly father went on, then I had to see God in another area of my life. And I had to begin to trust him in another area of my life. And so that's all I'm saying is that we have to trust him. Even though it don't feel good, even though we don't know where he's trying to take us and what he's trying to do with us, we have to trust him. We have to trust him. Why at 31? Why God couldn't wait till I was 50? Why God couldn't wait till I was 65 or whatever the age is? I don't know that. I don't know. I don't know why God took mom, dad, wife, husband. I don't know. Why sister? I don't know that. Niece, nephew, we don't know, but we know that everything that he does it for our good. He does it to bring us in relationship with who he is. And see, what the Israelites missed is that in this waiting season, in this waiting period, that they allowed what they had been through. They allowed the trauma. They allowed just what they've been through in Egypt to determine to go back. So, and that's what we do. We allow our trauma instead of allowing God to heal us. So God is trying to heal us from those things that we've been through so that we can continue to trust him. Because this is not going to be the first waiting season and it's not going to be the last waiting season. And God is calling for us to trust him. God is calling for us to lay aside our pride and to move out the way and stop trying to pick up things in order to soften the suffering. God is calling for us to trust him. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I command them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are stiff, and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them, that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord, his God. Lord, he said, why should your anger burn against your people whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say it was with evil intent that he brought them out to kill them in the mountains and to wipe the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, I will make descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give you descendants, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever. Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened. And so in my reading, impatience, because of the impatience of the Israelites, the impatience led to disobedience. And so because the Israelites were disobedient, disobedient leads to consequences. So in your waiting period, that if you are disobedient, if you don't wait well, and you begin to do what you want to do, and you're disobedient, it's going to lead to consequences. It's going to lead to destruction. It's going to lead you, there being a separation from you and God. And so it may not be an immediate death, but it may be a loss of opportunity, because God told you to wait and you went faster than what he told you. So now the opportunity that was there is no longer there anymore. And so God wants us to know that although in the waiting, that there's going to come, that we have to be patient, that our impatience or that our distress, when we give into those thoughts and when we respond to those feelings, that they lead us down a path that's not what he intended for us to be. For every sin, there's a consequence. Whether it's big, small, whatever, for every sin, there is a consequence. The consequence might not be immediate death, but it can be a loss of an opportunity. You could have encountered things that you wasn't even supposed to encounter, because you chose to be disobedient, because you chose to go before God told you to, because you chose to say something before God told you to say something, that you could encounter things that you were not supposed to encounter. And then when we do that, we blame it on God. We're mad at God. We begin to point the fingers at him, but he told us to wait. We have spiritual setbacks. We have spiritual setbacks when we are disobedient to what the Lord has called, when we don't do what the Lord has called us to do. When we're supposed to have peace, we could have been moving forward towards peace, but now we have went 10 steps back, and now we're filled with nothing but chaos, because we're doing things and we're moving in a way that God told us not to. He says, wait. And our waiting, that doesn't mean not to do anything. And our waiting, that means to hope. Hope that the Lord is working things out. That means to trust. Trust to know that the Lord is moving on your behalf. Trust to know that he's moving on your behalf. And so when you see these verses, you see that the Lord was ready. He was ready to punish the Israelites. And we see Moses interceded on the behalf. And so many times Jesus does that for us. He has did it. That's the reason he died on the cross. He intercedes. He's sitting at the right hand on the Father, interceding on our behalf, say, don't destroy them. And we don't even realize that. We don't even realize that he is interceding on our behalf, that we are supposed to get his grace and his mercy. And we don't even realize that a lot of things that we were supposed to encounter, a lot of things that we were supposed to feel, a lot of the punishment that we were supposed to get, that the Lord, that Jesus interceded for us. That he interceded for us on our behalf. Thank you, Lord. And God is just wanting us in this waiting. He is just wanting us to trust him. He's wanting us to depend on him and not anything else. And that we see, and it's just not this time, but we see several times in the Bible that the people went before. We see Sarah and Abram. They went before God promised them a son, but they went, they moved too fast. And then they had Hagar and Ishmael. And so now you cause, even though God is still, he keeps his promises, but now some drama has been caused into that. And then we see that Saul was instructed to wait on Samuel before offering the sacrifice before a battle, but Samuel didn't arrive on time. And we see that Saul took it in his own matters and no longer had the kingdom in his hand. Like, we see the instances in the Bible. So the Lord is teaching us before we even move forward, like, there's going to be consequences to follow. But he's still that faithful, though. He's still faithful enough to still keep his promises. And so although we are suffering, although God brings us to a point where in our suffering, we feel like we're not going to make it. And I know that in our waiting, it could be tough. And I know that in our waiting, it can make it seem like, God, where are you? And so I was in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3. And Pastor has spoke about, he has preached from Jeremiah. And he has spoke about how Jeremiah had to be the one to be sent before the people and tell the people what God is going to do. And the people didn't listen to him. And he had to see that the people end up suffering because of their disobedience, that the people continue to turn to their idols over and over and over again. And so in Lamentations 3, you hear, when you read, you hear the wailing and the weeping of Jeremiah, because he is crying out for the people, because the people, they are suffering because their disobedience, because they chose not in every instance to wait on the Lord. They chose not to wait on the Lord. They chose to be in control. They chose not to trust. They chose to go to idols. And we see in Lamentations 3 that Jeremiah starts the chapter with a deep grief. He's grieving. He's wailing. He's lamenting for the destruction of the Jerusalem and the suffering that the people had to endure. In the first verses, Jeremiah feels abandoned. So Jeremiah feels just like we feel when we're in the waiting, that we feel abandoned. Jeremiah feels that we're attacked by God. Where are you? He speaks of God turning away from him. And we feel like that sometimes, like, God, you turned your back on me. You brought me this far and you turned your back on me. He feels alone. He feels stuck. How many of us can feel stuck in the waiting? How many of us can feel stuck like, God, where are you doing? He is in deep despair. But when we go to chapter 21, it says, but this I call to mind. But this I call to mind. Jeremiah, remember. Jeremiah, remember. So I get it in our impatience. And yes, we in our impatience, we sometimes we move on our impatience and it causes us to sin, and that we end up being suffering. We end up having to suffer and we're asking God, where are you? But in these verses in 19, he said, I remember. So in your waiting, I want you to remember. I want you to remember. He said, but this I call to mind, that I have hope. That I have hope. He begins to remember the character of God. He begins to remember his past faithfulness. Yes. He begins to remember the future promises. I remember. And so the Lord wanted the Israelites to remember that how you was in Egypt and I heard your cry. And I came and I sent plagues and I did all type of things to get Pharaoh to release you. And he released you, and then I swallowed them up and I parted the Red Sea. And I swallowed them up, and then I brought you this to this space. And I brought you, and I seen that there you were not strong enough. So I took you in a roundabout. I did all of these things for you. We have to remember that he pulled us up out of our stuff.
Yeah.
We have to remember that he came to see about us. We have to remember that he kept us in our right mind. We have to remember that when we wanted to give up, when we were about to pull the trigger, when we were about to slash our wrist, whatever, when we was about to commit suicide, he had somebody to call our phone.
Yeah.
We have to remember when we contemplated those things. We have to remember when we were left in our room by ourselves crying and weeping. We have to remember when we didn't have a job and he provided. We have to remember when we had one client. Now we stay booked and busy. We have to remember. We have to remember that he showed up for us before, that he'll show up for us again. So Jeremiah, he remembered. He said the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Ceases means to stop. Steadfast means God is devoted. He's committed to love you unconditionally. No matter what you do, you don't have to perform. You don't have to put on a show. You could just show up as who you are, and God is ready to love you. We have to remember that. Jeremiah remembered that. He remembered that in his waiting, while he was waiting for the Lord to come and deliver him and the people. He had to remember what the Lord has done. And he remembered that his mercies never come to an end. That he never stops extending his mercy. He never stops. We have to remember that. That they are new every morning. That when you wake up, that his mercies are new every morning. That great is thy faithfulness.
Yes.
That God is faithful. I can't stress that enough. I don't know what else to say. That God is faithful.
Yes.
That God will show up in a way that you ain't even imagined. That God will turn things around in a way that you ain't even imagined. That God will put food on your table in ways that you ain't even imagined. He's that faithful. But we're soon to forget. Jeremiah said, but I call this to mind. I remember. So many times in the Bible, it's remember. Remember the promises. Remember the prophecy. Remember. So when you be in that waiting season, remember that God says that it ain't going to end this way.
Yes.
Although it may feel this way, it ain't going to end this way.
Yes.
Remember. He remembers that God is reliable. He's trustworthy. He's a covenant keeper. He's gentle. He's kind. He's a holy God. He's a man that shall not lie. Even when it hurts, he's still faithful. Even when he see you crying, even when he know that crushed my daughter, that crushed my son, that he's still faithful. That we have to know that the root of all this that's happened in this world is sin. That it was never the intention. It was never the intention for us to go through what we went through. It was never the intention. All of this is sin. God created us to worship him. We just was supposed to be in the garden just worshiping. Free. Free. But there's where our hope comes from. It says, the Lord is my portion. That means he's what did Jeremiah realized the Lord is what he needs. Nothing else. Nothing else. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait from him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And I'm coming in, Ethan. And so my title was From Impatience to Hope, that although we get impatient in our waiting, that although things don't look like what we think they should look like, and I think we need to let go of that idea. Now I think I know we need to let go of that idea of what thing of how we have playing out our entire life, and we got to let it go. We got to let it go of what we feel that should look like. We have to let that go. And so I want you to know that there's hope in the wait. Last night, Elton and I was listening to a video, and what stuck out to me in the video is the man said that we always in a hurry. We always in a hurry. He said that we just want to win the lotto. He said, everybody want to win the lotto, go to Jamaica and Bahamas and not worry about nothing. And everything is just moving so fast. Technology moving so fast. It's just the world is just moving fast. So it makes us feel like we got to be in a hurry. We got to have a house. We got to have a car. We got to have the baby. We got to have the marriage. We just got to have. But what stuck out to me is that he said, when we finally arrive, we're going to realize that it wasn't even a destination that God was trying to get us to. He realized that it was the journey that was important. And that touched me. It brought tears to my eyes. Because we're just waiting. We just want to get from here to there. From here to there. The Israelites just wanted to get to the next moment. But not realizing what they should have been doing in the waiting. That while God, while Moses was on the mountaintop receiving instructions for them. Like, he wasn't just on there just to be lollygagging. He was receiving instructions for him that they should have been down praising. They should have been worshiping. They should have been, thank you, God. Or any, and even if it's tough, I know I go through seasons. Well, I have to, even if I can't pray, I'm quick. Like, God, I can't do it. It's the journey that we miss out on. We miss out on what God is trying to do. We miss out on the sanctification. We miss out on the purification. We miss out on the lessons because we just want to get to the next, like, to the next destination, to the next destination. But what is God trying to teach you in this waiting time? Maybe you arrived at the next destination, but you're about to go through a waiting period. What is he trying to go ahead and prepare you for with this word? What idols is he trying to expose that we run, that you run to for comfort? What is he trying to do? The waiting time for them, the waiting time for us is appointed time that our relationship with God is supposed to be strengthened. So while you're waiting for the job, while you're waiting for the phone call, while you're waiting for God to tell you what you need to be doing next, while you're waiting for him to give you okay for the next business, this is supposed to be a time that you're supposed to be strengthening your relationship with him. Because I guarantee you, you're going to need it when he gets you to that next destination. Amen. 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 Amen.